usually when a feast day happens on a Sunday, the Sunday sort of beats it and trumps the feast day, and we just celebrate the Sunday because Sundays are little Easters, and they're sort of seen as a very high level of feast in the church. But because the church reverences and loves the cross of our Lord so much, today the feast of the cross sort of trumps Sunday. So our Lord in the gospel points back to Moses and the healing that happened through the bronze serpent in the desert, and relates that his healing would be something like that, because that healing foreshadowed what would happen in Jesus. So if we go back to Exodus, we see a few things. We see the people complaining in the desert, but their complaining's really not warranted if we look at the whole of what happened to them recently. So in the Exodus, if we remember, the Hebrew people were enslaved by the Egyptians, and Moses was sent to tell Pharaoh to let my people go, to deliver them from them. And to do this, he sent many wonders, various plagues of frogs, rivers turning to blood, locusts, at Passover, the death of the firstborn son of both livestock and of the Egyptians. However, the Hebrews had the blood of the lamb on their doorpost, so the angel of death passed over their houses. They saw the sea spread before them and also go back to take out the Egyptian army. And they were also led by a pillar of fire by night and a pillar of cloud by day. So the Hebrew people just had experienced the Lord's radical saving power in very palpable ways, in very sensible ways, in ways that they shouldn't easily forget, because our Lord had shown that he can work miracles, that he can work wonders to deliver them. But we find them in the desert, they're murmuring and they're complaining, because the journey's hard, because they're not sure about where they're going to get food and water, and they long for what was back in Egypt, the flesh pots of Egypt. They long for meat instead of the manna given to them. So we see in these people a lack of trust and a lack of gratitude for the salvation that they received. They only see what's immediate to them, the difficulty they're faced with. They're unable to see with circumspection, to see the entire history of what had just happened, and then the promise the Lord had made to bring them to a promised land. So they're complaining inside their souls. They're complaining to the Lord and really showing a deep lack of trust and a deep lack of gratitude for his saving power. And we can often find ourselves doing that. We often murmur and complain during the day, grumbling at little inconveniences, but also not accepting the bigger crosses the Lord sends us in his providence in life. We ourselves lack the deep gratitude and humility for the cross, for the saving miracle of the cross in our lives. And even though we're removed from the actual event of the cross, so like the Hebrews were able to see these miracles and go forward, and then they started to complain, we also, through faith, and especially through the Mass, are brought to the foot of Calvary once again. The sacrifice is represented to us. We're brought there, and we do see the saving power and work of our Lord in a real tangible way. So when we look to the cross, why should we have this deep gratitude? Why should we have a deep humility just in its presence, in its face? Because we see crosses, people wear crosses, we make the sign of the cross, we display crosses in our homes, and we often forget the meaning behind it. We know that it symbolizes our Lord and his presence, but we forget the radical, extreme, outstanding, ineffable love of the Lord that he poured out on the cross that it's to remind us more fully of. So on the cross, we see the creator of the stars of night, of all the beauty of nature, including the beauty that's around us now, taking on human flesh and enduring incredible pain to show us how to love, how to live our lives as self-gift for the other, for other people, and for the other as God. The cross is also the new tree of life. It's green, it's vibrant, it's extraordinarily fruitful. And that the fruit that it heals, the fruit that it produces, heals the nations. As we read in Revelation, there is a river of life-giving water flowing out from the throne of God that waters the trees that produce the leaves that heal the nations and the fruit that is given for our healing as well. The cross is also the source of life-giving water. When our Lord's side was pierced, the sacraments of the church, baptism, the Eucharist, confession, these sacraments that give us life, that give us hope, that give meaning to our lives, that give us joy, were poured out on the cross. They were given to us in that act of self-offering of the Son to the Father in the power of the Holy Spirit. And we receive these sacraments, these gifts, where we actually can come to our Lord to touch him, to receive him, to encounter him in a very powerful way. We also receive the gift of the Holy Spirit through the cross. Jesus said, "If I do not go to the Father, then the Advocate will not come." So by embracing the cross and saying yes to his death, he gives us the Consoler, the Advocate, our Helper, God's power and presence dwelling in us, and also in the events of our lives and that's around us, and we can observe moving if we have the ears of our heart in tuned with God's ears and God's heart and his movements. The Holy Spirit also frees us from sin, especially through, again, that font of life-giving water pouring forth from his side through baptism and penance. We receive freedom in the Holy Spirit. We receive joy and we receive peace, a peace that the world cannot give, but that our Lord is able to give and bestow upon us. We also receive the gift of Our Lady, Mary, our mother and our teacher, our advocate before the throne of her Son. She, through whose hands all graces flow to us by the will of the Father. At the cross, our Lord says to St. John, in the person, he's representing the church, he says, "Behold your mother," and then, "Mother, behold your son." Mary is given to each of us in a very intimate way at the cross. Therefore, we exalt the cross. We rejoice in that gift of Mary's presence and intercession in our lives. The cross also gives us meaning in the face of suffering and death, in the face of the drudgery of our daily labor. We're not left with a black hole of hopelessness, of nihilism, of just confusion at this life, the absurdity that this life seems to be. The cross gives this life meaning. Suffering is not just an empty act, but a true act of love that is redemptive, that heals us and brings life and salvation to others when we offer it in union with the Lord. Similarly, death that would seemingly have no meaning, death that doesn't seem natural to the human way of being and the human condition, is given a new significance through the cross, and that is that the resurrection will occur. the Son of Man must suffer, but in 3 days he will rise. And he did rise. And if we allow ourselves to be given over to him during this life, to live lives of love, to live lives centered on God in prayer, our lives will have great meaning, even in the midst of great suffering, and our death will be simply a passing from one mode of being to another. We will still exist in God's presence, and more fully in God's presence in the next life. And that leads us to the final and maybe the most beautiful meaning of the cross. Through the cross, the gates of heaven are open to us. So this world is indeed a fallen world. We incur much suffering, much pain in this world, even in the midst of our joys and some peace and other good things that occur to us. Ultimately, this life cannot be lived well without a good bit of suffering. And that is given redemptive value through the cross. And the gates of heaven are opened through the cross. So we have incredible hope, and we anticipate new life because of the cross, our Lord's act of dying, freely giving his soul up through the act of his will, descending into hell, freeing the sons of Adam from their sort of prison of not being fully in the presence of God. From that point, he led those souls to heaven, and now we are promised with seeing God face to face forever, with living lives of total joy and peace and bliss for all eternity if we give our hearts to our Lord in this life. So in the cross, we have all these beautiful saving wonders. It reminds us of our Lord becoming incarnate and giving himself as gift to us. It is the tree of life. It is the source of life-giving water, the source of the sacraments for the church. It is what calls the Holy Spirit down upon the earth. It bestows upon us the gift of Our Lady, and it also helps us to find meaning and truth in an otherwise difficult world. So as we approach the Blessed Sacrament today at this Mass, we ask the Lord to help us embrace any crosses that he gives us, but more importantly, to not murmur, to not complain, to humbly and peacefully accept any pain, any suffering, any persecution, any difficulty we encounter in this life with humility, in light of the cross and the incredible gift that we have been given in it. We are able to bow down and sort of suffer in silence and give that over to our Lord because of the magnitude of the gift of the cross. So just like the Israelites, again, were saved through wonders, we were also saved through wonders, and we see this wonder renewed in each Mass. We are brought to the foot of the cross. May we be given new eyes to see, so that the words during the Holy Week might resound in our hearts, that it behooves us to glory in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is our salvation, our cross and resurrection, who by whom we are saved and delivered. In this deliverance we rejoice, in this deliverance we bow down in gratitude with great humility, and we thank our Lord Jesus for loving us to such an extent and pouring out his life into our hearts on the cross.